The city of Madison has been an outlier in its decision to not equip most police officers with body cameras. Now, there's a chance that could change. It's Monday, July 27th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, draft guidelines will be released this week for a proposed data center ordinance in Menominee. And a profile of former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes as part of WPR's ongoing series of candidates in the race. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state. Thanks to its network of 8 bureaus, with reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
Most police officers in Wisconsin wear body cameras. Madison officers are an exception. But as Sarah Lear reports, in the wake of a fatal police shooting, that could change.
Currently, the only Madison officers with body cameras are on the SWAT team and motorcycle units. The cameras aren't used department-wide. In the past, Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway has been hesitant to back citywide body camera use.
My main concern has been the cost, given the very severe limitations that the state puts on our budget.
Some local activists have argued against Madison body cameras, alleging that they would lead to over-surveillance. At a press conference after a Madison officer fatally shot a 38-year-old man, Rhodes Conway announced that she'll ask the Common Council to fund citywide body cameras. In the wake of that shooting, community members have been calling for transparency and demanding that police release any camera footage. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The family of a man killed by Madison police last week has hired an attorney with a long resume of cases involving the use of deadly force. Attorney Ben Crump has previously represented families in the police killings of George Floyd, Michael Brown, and others. Corey Ruiz was killed by a Madison officer on the city's east side, leaving many in the community reeling. Crump held a press conference on Friday with Ruiz's family. He called for accountability and justice and said that Ruiz was, quote, executed by the officer. Ruiz's family members remembered him as a beloved son, brother, and father. A new lawsuit is attempting to expand provisional voting on Election Day to residents worried their absentee ballots won't arrive on time. Provisional ballots give voters a chance to cast a ballot later if they cannot show an ID when they first go to the polls. The ballots are not counted unless the person provides documentation before the polls close. Law Forward attorney Scott Thompson says those worried their absentee ballots won't be counted because of post office delays should have that option too.
And so we believe that there's a real easy fix here. All they have to do is just make sure that people can cast a provisional ballot. And that way, no matter what happens with the mail, we know for sure that every voter is going to be able to participate.
The suit was filed against the Wisconsin Elections Commission in Dane County Court. It comes after clerks surveyed this year reported delivery delays during the April election. Menominee is preparing to release a draft ordinance outlining requirements for a proposed data center there. Avery Martinez says the 320-acre site has faced pushback in the western Wisconsin city.
Derek DeGrosse moved into Menominee just 2 months before the project was announced.
It's only a couple miles from my house.
He found residents were against the project. The mayor says the guidelines, called I-4, are being crafted around public input. They call for setbacks, building heights, and noise levels. But DeGrosse worries about the actual power of the rule.
My big concern is that the I-4 ordinance will basically be a way for them to say, we listen to you guys, and then that the developer will be able to just cross off the checklist one by one, and then still build it.
The draft guidelines will be released this week, but the ordinance won't be up to a vote anytime soon. Avery Martinez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Residents of a rural Kenosha County community overwhelmingly opposed a planned natural gas plant at a pair of public hearings last week. Chicago-based developer Invenergy has proposed a natural gas power plant in the town of Paris. That project is currently moving through the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin's approval process. It would be the second largest natural gas plant in Wisconsin if approved. We Energy's plans to acquire the plant. It comes as a new draft report from state regulators project electricity demand to rise by 40% by 2032, driven by power-hungry data centers. Kaylee Zelabowski lives in the town of Paris.
Please do not ask us to sacrifice our health, our quality of life, and our community for a project that benefits others while placing the burden on those who call this place home.
Invenergy has said that plant is meant to help respond to rising electricity demand and that it will not run continuously. Homeschooling is the fastest growing education option in Wisconsin. Corrine Hess reports on recently released numbers from the Department of Public Instruction.
The number of students being homeschooled in the state grew by nearly 6% since 2025 to almost 33,000 children. Meanwhile, the number of students in Wisconsin's public schools is down almost 2%, or by about 14,000 kids. Homeschooling has steadily gained in popularity since the mid-1980s. It leveled out to about 20,000 students from 2000 to 2020, then jumped to about 30,000 children during the pandemic. Those children never returned to traditional schools. Homeschooled students don't have the same testing requirements as public school children, so it's difficult to measure how their academic achievements compare. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, a profile of former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes as he runs for governor. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
Mandela Barnes came up just short in his run for U.S. Senate 4 years ago after Democrats cleared the field for him in that year's primary. It left him tarnished with some Democrats. Now he's trying to win them back as he runs for governor in a crowded field. Rich Kramer reports.
Weeks before the Democratic primary for governor turned to chaos, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes was getting a tour of the Riverview Dairy Farm in Chippewa County. Co-owner Matthew Hullab told Barnes his family has been milking cows there since 1918.
My sister and I are fifth generation. Little Cadence back there is hopefully going to be sixth generation.
Inside a large machine shed, Barnes and other farmers sit down for a campaign roundtable to talk about the pressures facing agriculture. They discuss President Donald Trump's war with Iran spiking the price of diesel and fertilizer. Farmer Jim Shulkus criticizes Trump's trade battles with allies like Canada.
We rely on Canada. My God, I have all my equipment, international hours and stuff, a lot of stuff made in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. My Ford truck was made there.
This is days before Trump would visit the county and promote Republicans like Congressman Tom Tiffany, the candidate for governor. And Barnes calls out the president.
He's going to talk about everything that he's done to make life better for people and rural America, but folks know that that is just not the case.
If Barnes had the Democratic nomination locked up, this would be a textbook campaign stop. But Barnes is in real danger of losing this primary. The Milwaukee native faces fierce opposition closer to home, as both progressives and centrists have found other candidates. Barnes' loss to Johnson is still an open wound for some. Former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton was among the Democrats who tried to get him to stay out of the race. She told WPR his 2022 primary opponents were bullied out, and Barnes' campaign was sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars after Election Day.
You cannot argue that you ran the hardest race you could for U.S. Senate on behalf of all of us in Wisconsin and still have close to $1 million in the bank.
Barnes and his supporters have claimed he did not get enough national Democratic support in that race. When asked about the unease among his critics, Barnes said he came closer to defeating a sitting senator than anyone else in the nation.
All this despite having $50 million spent against me. Ultimately, that's what makes me the strongest candidate because I have faced headwinds that nobody else has faced.
University of Wisconsin-La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky says what makes Barnes so fascinating is that Democrats can look at his loss to Johnson and reach different conclusions. He says to some, Barnes blew it. To others, he ran strong and built up name ID that could help Democrats this year.
So it's that classic Rorschach test.
Polling has shown Barnes slightly trailing Madison Representative Francesca Hong, the Democratic Socialist. After three more mainstream Democrats left the race, it seemed like Barnes might have a path to frontrunner status. But then...
This election is too important to gamble on. And that's why today I am re-entering this race.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley dropped back in the race for governor. That set up the biggest snub of Barnes' campaign. Despite Governor Tony Evers serving with Barnes for 4 years, he endorsed Crawley instead. With his back against the wall, Barnes has gone on the attack. At a Crawford County Democratic Party forum, he took aim at the establishment.
This week is why so many people are frustrated and want nothing to do with the Democratic establishment. And we have to acknowledge it.
Despite the campaign setbacks, head-to-head polling has shown Barnes at the top of the pack for Democrats in hypothetical general election matchups. He might not be there if it were not for his 2022 campaign. He's reaching out to the voters who supported him then, and he's trying to win them back. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR will continue our series on the governor's race tomorrow with a profile of Madison State Representative Francesca Hong. To find other candidate profiles running for governor, just head over to WPR.org. And in weather, quite a few advisories today. An extreme heat warning is in effect until 9 p.m., impacting the southwestern Wisconsin counties. That includes La Crosse, Monroe, Vernon, Richland, Crawford, and Grant counties. And also be aware, a heat advisory is in effect until 9 p.m., impacting St. Croix to Adams to Dodge County and south. Meanwhile, today, partly cloudy and very hot and humid west to south. Occasional showers and storms from north to southeast areas, and some could be severe. Fog this morning as well in spots. Highs expected to reach in the mid-80s north to mid to upper 90s southwest. And then tonight, partly cloudy with lows reaching the upper 50s to mid-60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, cooler, and less humid. Highs will reach in the upper 70s to mid-80s. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. And special thanks to our producer today, Rob Mentzer. We'll see you back here tomorrow.